All right, and we're live, finally. Google Hangouts is not going to be able to keep us down today. My name is Jeremiah. This is episode 86 of the Android Headlines Show?
Sure.
Yes, it's 86. I checked that. we almost had to 86 it tonight, but because Google Hangouts was giving us some problems, but we got them worked out. And so I'm joined tonight by Nick and Alex from the site. You guys want to say what's up?
What's up, everyone?
Yo.
So we wanted to kind of just touch on a couple of things from the last couple of weeks. Almost 2 weeks ago, on episode 85, we had JBQ from Yahoo on with us, and that was just an absolutely fantastic interview. We had such a great time talking to him. And then last week, we had some technical issues. Alex was out of the country. Nick was traveling for his day job, and we just couldn't get everything lined up properly to do it, so we had to cancel the show last minute. And then this week is Thanksgiving. I know I'm traveling for the holiday, but we did want to make sure that we were able to kind of touch on some things just to kind of make sure we're not missing out too much, leaving you guys hanging too. So we jumped into that today, kind of put together a list of some things to talk about, and wanted to make sure there's a whole bunch of new devices we've got too, which is going to be fun. Nick and Alex both have a bunch of fun stuff to show off. We've got a little bit of news. OnePlus opened a retail store in China, so an actual brick-and-mortar store. We wanted to talk about some of the Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals that we've got going on. We are also launching a deals website that's supposed to go live, I think, tomorrow. So we'll talk about that a bit, too, an Android Headlines deals site where you can go and find all the greatest deals on all the tech and gadgets that you want. Some hardware, like I said, we got some new devices to talk about. Some of the software stuff that we didn't get to as well, and new apps, YouTube Music Key rolling out, and Android Lollipop 5.0, Lollipop hitting devices. So, but let's go ahead and jump into some news. So the OnePlus One, the company is opening, or has already opened, a retail store in China. This is interesting because they don't have any devices apparently to sell. They're really limited stock. They are, you know, everything's on a pre-order, but they have enough phones to stock a retail store in China. Now, I didn't see where the store is located, but it looks, I mean, it's all red and white, like the OnePlus colors. They have all kinds of accessories on the walls. They've got a good, so there's three tables, it looks like, from these pictures. Three tables with six devices each on the tables. They've got employees in the store. It looks a lot, honestly. Everything's super clean. All the employees are wearing the same color shirts. They're all red. And they modeled the thing after Apple, but it's just Verizon colors.
And being in China, that's not a big surprise.
Right, right. Everything is stolen from Apple over there.
I mean, just look at the Mizu event I was at last week. I mean, even the back of the phone says, designed by Mizu, so manufactured in China or something like that. It's the same wording as what it says on the back of the iPhone,
yep.
But
designed by Mizu, made in China. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So
yeah,
that's a big thing over there. Just pretty much copying off of Apple.
So they wanted to, you know, keep costs down, reduce overhead. You know, they don't have a big marketing budget. The device is only available by invitation, or, you know, now a limited pre-order setup.
They're selling it in India on Amazon exclusively starting now, I think in like an hour. or two from now.
Ever since this phone launched, though, they've prioritized the Chinese market, and they've they've had them readily available on store shelves, I think, pretty close to day one. It's really just the international version that we've been, you know, has been very difficult to get, which has been the whole invite system and all that crap. Because even, I'm pretty sure even in June, July, you know, whenever people were really going crazy over trying to get this thing, you could go on a Chinese website and order the thing for like $100 more.
But you know, when I was looking to get mine, there is a site. It was a Chinese site. I can't think of the name of it, but it was selling the 16 gigabyte for the price of the 64. That's only $50 difference, but you know, still that's three times the storage.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, if you bought one of those, you're stuck with the Chinese stuff. So pretty much, unless you want to be on AT&T HSPA over here, that's probably your only option.
Right, and so some of that's manufacturing. You know, they if they're focusing more on the Chinese market, they're building them with Chinese radios.
Yep.
To support the networks over there. Yep, yeah, and shipping them with ColorOS, that's right.
Which...
The store is actually slated to open December 20th. So the pictures that we're seeing now are just like press shots. So it's not open yet, but it's coming, and it's something that OnePlus thinks that you know, is going to work well for them. The sources from China are saying that the OnePlus One and the limited edition JBL version are both on display, and OnePlus is looking to open more sites in the future. This one is located in the Blue Harbor area of Beijing.
You know what was the most interesting thing about the store look is on one of the pictures, they've got a little shot of all the accessories and stuff. Right smack in the middle is the bamboo back.
Yeah, oh man.
Which is sort of like a smack in the face to us. I don't know. I don't know about you.
Yep, I agree. I agree. But like you said, they're prioritizing the Chinese market. Looking at the pictures, not only do they have it, the bamboo back on display and on a big display screen, but at least one of or two of the devices that I'm looking at, the display units have the bamboo backs as well. So
it's crazy because
they're not the only OEM that prioritizes their home market either. I mean, Samsung and LG is a prime example. Motorola too, when they were still American. I mean, now they're kind of Chinese now with Lenovo owning them.
Yeah, I'm not knocking them. I'm just in particular the backs were what's interesting to me because they canceled that whole program. Like they had so many engineering issues, is what they cited, and all this other stuff. And well, here they are. So what does that mean? Does that mean they canceled it internationally? Or is this just like, hey, we've got a couple extra lying around. Here's one, maybe if it works.
That's what it means. That means they canceled it internationally. They made a bunch. They're selling them in China. They're not shipping them over here.
I think I'm going to go look on eBay right now.
Yeah, you probably find some, man.
Let's see what I find.
From Chinese site, from a Chinese site, you might be able to find one and have it shipped over here for a little bit extra money. So a lot of people upset about that over here. I mean, OnePlus can do whatever they want, whatever they think is best for their business, but they're not making any friends in the U.S. market, at least. But that is what it is, you know. They've got a retail store opened up. I know for us here in the U.S., Black Friday is a huge day for shopping in retail stores. And there's a whole bunch of good deals on tech stuff for Black Friday, as well as Cyber Monday. So I don't know, are you guys planning on going out Black Friday, doing any shopping?
No, I want to stay alive.
I pretty much go out on Black Friday and drink coffee and don't buy electronics. That's generally my rule. It's more of a start to Christmas for me than I actually go out and buy anything.
If I go,
I like to laugh at people in lines, you know.
Yeah, yeah. If I go out, it's not until like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Like I'm not getting up at midnight and lining up to catch some deal at Walmart or Best Buy when the doors open at 2 a.m. or whatever.
I just open the browser and go shopping.
Exactly. You know, when people sit there in tents for 2 weeks and there's only 3 TVs.
Yeah, yeah, because you're trying to get a, you know, PS4 for $100 off or a 50-inch TV for $150.
Exactly.
They should just sell the PS4 for $100.
That would be...
a couple.
But there are a bunch of really good deals. Amazon's got a bunch of stuff on Black Friday. They've got a... I'm just looking down the list of electronics here. There's a Toshiba 50-inch TV for $200.
They've got a lot of stuff right now, and they're putting up new ones like every 10 minutes or something like that all week long. So there's a lot.
Yep. So if you're looking for new stuff, go check out the site. Link over to Amazon there and see what they've got to offer. There's a bunch of stuff there. Pretty much everybody. There's some cool deals through Google Shopping. You can get special discounts on stuff through Google Shopping and through some apps in the Google Play Store. You get specific discounts, extra 10% off or something if you shop through those apps. So, yeah, Amazon's doing this 8 days of Black Friday deal. It actually started on the 21st, so they're rolling out new stuff all the time. So you don't even have to leave your house, which is something I'm always a fan of. Do all your shopping from your pajamas, you know, in your pajamas from your house. There's a bunch of Cyber Monday stuff, too, that we're seeing already on phones and plans from carriers and... so lots of really cool stuff going on there if you're looking for a deal. The Android Headlines deal site will be launching tomorrow also, which you can find at deals.androidheadlines.com. This is all set up through Stack Social. We partnered with them to build out this store. There's free stuff, there's giveaways, there's a specific Black Friday section. It's actually live now, but there's not a whole lot on there because the build-out's not complete. It's not all officially rolled out until tomorrow morning.
Yeah, but they have some drones, too.
Yeah. but yeah, there's a whole list of sales stuff and special deals. All powered by Stack Social and Stack Commerce at deals.androidheadlines.com. So we'll be talking about that more as, you know, once the site launches and as we find cool deals, we'll just push them to the deals site. But hopefully we can save you guys some money on some new toys. So pretty cool stuff there. Let's talk about some hardware, though, because I know you guys have some new phones that you want to show off. So before we start talking about some of the stuff that you got to play with at the Mizu event, Alex, let's talk about these OnePlus 2 rumors. What are you guys hearing about that?
I didn't even read it, so.
So you aren't hearing anything. Yep. At this point, there's not a lot of specifics. That the OnePlus 2 is still going to be, you know, less than $500. It may not be as cheap as $299, like the 16 gig OnePlus 1.
Yeah, they're saying sub 500 USD, and they're looking to bring the style swap that they killed this year.
Yes, which is the being able to switch out the backs.
Yeah, the bamboo, Kevlar, and denim.
Yep. So they couldn't get that right for the OnePlus 1. So hopefully they can get it tweaked for the OnePlus 2. Yep. We're also hearing that the OnePlus 2 might be a little bit smaller. than the OnePlus One? I know for me, the OnePlus One was just a little bit too big. And I ended up finding a really good deal on an Xperia Z2 and picking that up.
And then, I think if they had just gotten rid of the capacitive keys, it would have been perfect size.
Because, yep, that's exactly right. Because the Z2 is, for me, is perfect. And it is just like those capacitive keys.
Yep.
That's how much shorter it is. It's just a hair thinner and not quite as wide. And take those capacitive keys off the bottom. And that's how the difference in it. And this is perfect for me to one hand.
Yep.
The OnePlus One was a little bit too big. So, so it might be like 5.2, 5.3 inches instead of 5.5. They'll slim it down some. Hopefully get rid of those capacitive buttons.
Yeah, I don't think a whole lot of people really use the capacitive buttons.
No.
Everybody I've seen with the OnePlus One is using the on-screen.
Every once in a while you see somebody in the OnePlus forums that is like, well, I don't want to use up all my screen real estate on with those on-screen buttons. I want just keep the screen as it is. Don't put the buttons on the bottom. Okay.
Yeah.
But and maybe it's different in China or in any of the other markets. But
yeah, in China, like, all the phones are capacitive, and I'm sure Nick can talk about that as well.
They are all capacitive.
And now Mizu is coming out with a physical one. I don't know anybody else has a physical one or not. I know Mizu has one on the MX4 Pro.
Well, and so maybe the OnePlus 2 will keep the capacitive buttons because the Chinese market is still a big focus for them. I don't know.
Or maybe they'll put a physical home button and put a fingerprint reader in there and copy off of Apple.
Could be. Could be. I actually traded my OnePlus One straight up to a guy for an iPhone 6, a gold iPhone 6.
And was he a hipster?
No, actually, it's a young dude in the military that.
Because he had a gold iPhone 6, usually that's a hipster.
Yeah, yeah. No, he really wanted a OnePlus One because I was going to keep the iPhone 6 for, you know, a week or two and just see what it was all about, but I ended up selling it on Swappa and made almost $200 on the deal. So, you know, if anybody wants to swap their OnePlus One for an iPhone 6, I'll do that all day. I need to go buy some more OnePlus Ones and see if I can swap them out for iPhone 6s, right? Just make a business out of that. I'm kidding. The OnePlus One's a great phone. Like I said, it was just a little bit too big for my taste. Was the only reason, really, that I got rid of it. So, but yeah, we'll keep you posted on the Z2, on the OnePlus Two, as that gets closer to a release date, and we hear some more stuff. I'm sure it'll leak out all over the place in the first quarter of next year. It's supposed to come sometime in Q2 or Q3. They haven't given us a specific date on it yet. So, let's Alex, I'll let you take over here because you were there in China, hands on for this event. Talk to us about the MX4 Pro from Mizu.
Yeah, last week got different from the MX4. The big difference is the is a physical home button now instead of capacitive, which has a fingerprint reader in the home button. So instead of like on Samsung where you have to swipe your finger across, you just hold it down like you would on the iPhone. I think they even named it like M-Touch or something like that. They introduced a bunch of other things, other features and stuff, and Flyme is how they were pronouncing it, so I guess that's how you pronounce their OS. Flyme 4.1. So there's like MPay, which is supposed to be the equivalent to Apple Pay, Retina Sound, whatever that's supposed to mean. It really felt like, you know, an Apple event. Like I was sitting at an Apple event that was, well, in Chinese. But the MX4 Pro is a really good phone. I didn't get to play with it a whole lot. We did come home review units, which Nick actually has ours. But Google was all blocked in China, so I really couldn't download any apps or anything. And when I got home, I just pretty much got all the pictures I took with it off the phone and sent it over to Nick. It was a pretty nice event. They used the National Indoor Stadium in Olympic Park, so it was a pretty big place. They announced the MX4 Pro, which has a 2K plus display, and it's only plus because it's 2560 by 1536 instead of 1440.
Yeah, it's wide.
Yeah. What else did they? Oh, they announced those new headphones, which aren't the ones that you got, Nick. Those are the older ones.
Interesting.
And they look just like the iPhone ones too, the packaging and everything. And then they announced a new, like, I want to say like MP3 player, but it's not. It's more like an iPod. It's kind of weird. But that one wasn't available, so. The funny thing is I was there with the Nexus 6 and everybody is crowding around me to get pictures of the Nexus 6 instead of the MX4 Pro.
That's fantastic.
Because we were banned there, so no Nexus.
Dude, that's great. That is great.
I'm in an area. I'm like messaging, you know, our other editors, and everybody's crowding around like, "Can I get a picture of the Nexus 6?" I'm like, "Aren't you here for the MX4 Pro?" Mm-hmm. Of course, they don't speak English, so it's kind of hard to figure out what they're trying to do.
Oh, gotta love it. I guess you didn't have a chance to play with the MPay thing, right?
The MPay?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, because I've been trying to find it on here today. I'll probably just resort to looking it up, see if anybody else knows how to do it, but it's not obvious. Like, if you go under the fingerprint management thing, I don't see it under there. The phone is really interesting, though. I really liked the MX4. Same quality build, like you said. The biggest difference here is the home button, which is a mix of physical and capacitive. You can actually assign what you want that capacitive to be. So I changed it to back, because if you've seen an MX4 before, you'll know that there's no back button on it.
Yeah, and some of the apps, they have a bar at the bottom
just
for the back button, and that is so annoying.
What's even crazier is, let's see if you can see this. All right. You see the little thing in the bottom left? That's a hovering button, okay? So you can touch it, and it'll go back. Or you can, let's see if I can swipe it. You can swipe, and it'll multitask between apps. So you can do that in anything. I don't know. I thought it was really interesting. It was a really cool idea. So you can use
Was that in Flyme 4.0 on the MX4?
No.
Okay, so that's one of the new features.
Yep, I know. I was like, what the heck is this little thing? And I clicked it, and I'm like, oh, crap, what the heck? And then, like, you can, you know, long press and drag it anywhere you want on the screen and all that stuff. It's very interesting. So it's definitely a tweaked version of what was on the MX4. And I wonder if they'll add that to the regular MX4 or not.
Probably, because they said they're going to update 4.1 on the MX4, I believe it's next month. Because the MX4 Pro is not even on sale yet. It goes on sale the 6th.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But yeah, it's... so far, it's great. I've only messed with it today. You know, I just got to get through afternoon. So, I got plenty of other stuff to mess around with, too. So, once I finish up this other review, I'll get to this one.
The camera was pretty good to me. I mean, it's the same as the MX4. It's the same as the Z3, the Z2. The Joy Tech was that 20.7 megapixel camera.
At least
they actually included the barcode scanner as part of a feature in the camera app, which I thought was pretty nice.
Yep. Yeah, that was on the MX4 as well. I think at least just, you know, a couple minutes I spent with it today, the HDR seems like it's faster on this. I know with the MX4, it was almost impossible to use HDR because the shutter was so slow between shots. I would just get ghosting in every image. And I took a couple with this, and I don't have any ghosting in any of them.
I'm trying to remember how slow it was in HDR because I've used a few phones since I used that one to take pictures.
It was...
It's a little slow still, though, right?
This one takes a while to take the picture, but it seems like most of the waiting must be processing. Because with the MX4, it was actually like, I think it took a picture, and then it was doing something, and then it took another picture. Because, I mean, if you had anything moving, forget it. It was like, you have like 1.5 heads, you know?
With the Droid Turbo, it took the picture like quickly, but it's like the processing was a little bit longer. Like as soon as you hit the shutter button, it took the picture, but it was still processing for like another 5-10 seconds or so before it was actually ready to take another picture. Which I think I'm okay with that kind of lag, because at least, you know, it's not trying to take the picture that whole time. It's just processing it.
Yeah, I'm okay with the processing, because, you know, if they start doing, you know, okay, well, we have to do something here, and then in between each shutter they do something, then, like I said, you get the ghosting, and it sucks. But yeah.
Yeah, and the HDR on the Droid Turbo was really good, especially at night. Some of the shots I was getting at night in Manhattan was really good, especially for a Motorola phone, because their cameras aren't usually that good.
Yep. Yeah, so far I'm pretty darn impressed with this camera.
And it's like a $400 phone. I think the 64 GB is like $408. So
that will work.
And I think they gave us the 32 GB version. And it actually had more free out of the box than the Nexus 6, which surprised me.
I'm trying to think what else on this. Oh yeah, they have the double tap on the home button to, let's see. Hold on. Come on. Whatever, forget it. It brings it half down on the screen like the 6 Plus does. Why the heck isn't it doing it anymore?
They even paid tribute or whatever to Johnny Ive in their keynote.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
I wonder if I changed something. Maybe by making the capacitive back, it gets rid of that feature.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I didn't even mess with that stuff, so.
Yeah. I will spend time with this next week. For now, though, it's mysterious and interesting.
Well, it sounds like a great device. So I'm excited to see your review on that, man. I know you like the MX4 a lot, so the Pro steps it up a bit. So that's awesome. And it really is. I mean, they're great phones. At this point, they don't have, you know, US LTE is the biggest thing holding them back from kind of breaking into the market over here. But they're focused on the Chinese market.
I think they have it on AT&T, because Chris told me the MX4 and some of the Xiaomi phones are working on AT&T LTE for him.
Well, good. Good.
I never put my SIM card in there because, I mean, I was over in China most of the time, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
Right. So, interesting. Well, Nick, you should, I know you got a T-Mobile SIM, you should go pick up a AT&T prepaid SIM and throw 10 bucks on there and see if it works.
I know it does LTE Cat 6, like the Snapdragon 805 G3 and S5 do. So, it might. I don't know if they'll have the right bands, but
yeah, I've got a GoPhone SIM. I actually have to re-up it because it just expired. I realized today when I stuck it in my other phone that I'm reviewing, I'm like, man, what the heck? And how many data? And then I go check my account. I'm like, oh, it expired. Crap.
It's been 90 days since you put money on that thing. It's
been 90 days. Oh well.
Yep. Well, cool. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So before we move on to this Nokia tablet, what other – we'll just do it now because we're already talking about cool hardware. What other fun stuff you guys have to play with? I know, Nick, you just finished up a review on a little crappy phone that you weren't excited about. So,
it was a feature phone.
Basically. It's an advanced feature phone. We'll just say that. An advanced feature phone that just so happens to be running Android. I'll just pretend it doesn't exist, and we'll continue from there. So the other two interesting things that I got were from this company called Number One, and they're a Chinese company that specializes in making, I guess for lack of a better term, we can call them clones of popular phones. So you have one that looks like the Galaxy S5, one that looks like the Note 4, one that looks like the OnePlus 1, the Xiaomi Mi 4. And then they also have a smartwatch that looks like the Gear 2, which I thought was interesting. So I got the OnePlus One clone, which is just called the number One Plus, and I got the Mi 4 clone, which is the number One Mi 4, whatever. So this thing is really impressive. So you take it out of the box, you literally cannot tell the difference between it and the Mi 4, like the official Mi 4, I guess. It feels exactly the same. It has the same metal band around it. It's got the same weight. Everything looks the same. There's even ports and speakers in the exact same spot. Once you turn it on, that's where you can start to see some of the differences, but it actually runs MIUI 5. So I think it's like a custom build of it that they made for it. So even the software experience feels almost exactly the same. The biggest actual differences are going to come in processing power, camera quality, things like that. But none of them are bad. I could play every single game I tried. I tried Asphalt, I tried Real Racing, I tried all the things that I could think of that have good graphics that would normally kill a crappy phone. And they ran perfectly. It's a 720p screen, 5-inch, so it looks fine. I mean, 720p at 5 inches is... I don't know. I have absolutely no problem with it at all. And it's a good panel, too. The only problem I have with it is it's really cool, like the colors, so the whites are really blue. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. If you look at it for a while, you're not going to care. Your eyes will get used to it. The phone is $149.
And that's what's crazy to me is these guys are like blatantly ripping off. They're not even trying to, you know, Xiaomi and Meizu and some of these other Chinese manufacturers, even Samsung, you know, they're like borrowing design accents and, you know, software elements, but they're not just straight up ripping it off. This yep. number one company, they're not even trying. They're just stealing the designs.
They're stealing the name, too.
Yep. Yep.
There's another company that does that, too. I can't think of the name of them, but they put it out there. They even use the Galaxy name, not just S5 and Note 4. They actually use Galaxy in their names. I can't think of who it is now.
Interesting.
And the Chinese trademark laws are obviously different because they can get away with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way they would get away with it anywhere else.
Yeah, just look at the Apple and Samsung trial.
Yep. But, you know, for $150, you can get a decent phone.
Yeah, I would wager to say this is the best $150 phone you could buy.
Right.
Xiaomi's supposed to be trying to do like a $99 phone. I don't know if it's going to come out and how it's going to be, but knowing them, it'll probably be a pretty good phone.
I was going to say, if the Android One phones that I reviewed are anything to go by, it's probably going to be pretty darn good. You know, for the price, of course. You got to figure that you're spending $100 on a brand new phone, but, you know, it's a great backup phone. It's a great phone if you can't, you know, spend $600 on a new device or whatever.
If you got kids that are carrying phones around, spend $100 or $150 and don't sign a contract, they can break it because if they do, whatever, it's $100.
Yeah, that's the price of a digitizer for most of these new phones. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And it literally does everything. It's got the Play Store on it. You can do whatever the heck. I mean, I think the only problem I found was that it really only supports AT&T's bands. So if you stick it on T-Mobile, you're stuck on Edge.
Yeah, okay.
Which is common with most of these international phones. I mean, that's just... That's how it goes when you buy an international phone. You pretty much just expect it to only work on AT&T over here.
Yep.
Unless you like 2G, of course.
Right.
And after spending a few days in China, I do not like 2G.
Don't do that to yourself.
So before we get into that, Nick, what else you had? You had this number one Mi 4.
Yeah, and I had the OnePlus One clone, too, so... This thing looks very similar to OnePlus One. This one is a little more different, though. This isn't quite as much of a clone. So, like, the power buttons are on the opposite side. It feels a little different in build quality. I never had the white OnePlus One, so I have no idea what it feels like. This is just like a smooth plastic.
I think that's how the white one feels, because don't they got, like, silk white or something? Maybe that's Samsung.
It probably is very similar. This one has a little bit better specs than the Mi 4 clone. I haven't looked at the price or anything. I literally opened this 5 minutes before the show. But just poking around in here, it has double the amount of RAM. Like, the screen looks better. I don't know if it's 720p or not, but I have to look it up. It seems like it probably is. I don't know. It seems like it's a slightly better phone, but the OS is a little weird looking. Like, it's, would you say Flyme? I wasn't really sure how the heck to pronounce Meizu's.
That's how they're pronouncing it in the English translation of their
I always called it event, Flyme, so. And that just was really awkward.
They're like Flyme OS, so I'm like, oh, yeah. That's how you pronounce
okay.
it.
Yeah, I like that one way better. That's much less awkward.
So Mike Vaughn is asking in the Q&A here if the $150 clone, that Mi 4 clone, will work on any U.S. carriers. And yes, Mike, it does work on AT&T.
Yeah. Well, it'll work on anything but basically Sprint, Verizon, or any of their offshoots. So just thinking of the popular list, you have T-Mobile, AT&T, Cricket. What is it? Simple Mobile? Is that...
Yeah.
T-Mobile's thing?
And basically then probably U.S. GSM Cellular. Carriers.
Yeah, any GSM carrier, it'll work fine on. Again, you may end up with 2G, but in that case, as long as you have Wi-Fi somewhere, you know, you're fine. Stick to texting or whatever when you're out on the road. Offline music.
But AT&T, you do get LTE?
You get HSPA.
Okay, so you're still not going to get LTE,
you're
but...
Yeah. Pretty much stream everything on
if
HSPA.
If you're in a refarmed area for T-Mobile, you might get HSPA as well. Because I know some areas HSPA is the same band as AT&T is, like in my area it is.
Yep.
Because we're in a refarmed network, or market is what they call it. So you might get HSPA in some places on T-Mobile, but I don't know if it's going to be 42. It might be 21, which is still better than Edge.
A million times better than Edge.
It's still better than AT&T's.
So, yeah, Mike, I would stick with AT&T to at least get high-speed data.
If you call that high-speed.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's just 21, it's not 42 HSPA. It's
21
still,
is like 2 to 3 megabits.
Yeah, it still works.
Yeah.
But pretty cool. Pretty cool. Alex, what do you have, man? I know you got a couple of things.
I got a couple of Lenovo tablets. There we go. This is the Yoga, the 10.1-inch. The Yoga, I think it's 2. There's a lot of iOS stuff that's copied in here. Like, if you swipe down from the bottom, or swipe up from the bottom, you get this, which looks just like on iOS, you know, all the quick toggles and stuff. It's got the, you know, the fold-out stand right here, which is what the Yoga's had pretty much for the last three models that we've had. We got front-facing speakers here. On the stand, there's actually a hole right there, so you can hang it on, like, a nail on the wall or something. Just kind of unique. I'm not sure.
Weird.
Who would use that, but it's there. We have front-facing speakers. This one, they're a little bit smaller. I also have the 13-inch one. Not sure how well you can see them, but they're pretty small on this one. It's got an Intel processor in there, and for the most part, it's pretty good, but scrolling like through Google Plus and stuff like that, it's a little choppy. I don't know if software fix will fix that or what, but it's not really like smooth like it is on the Moto X or the Nexus 6 or something like that, even something on KitKat. Also, we've got the 13.3-inch Yoga 2 Pro, which is the one I've actually been using for the last few days. So this one also has the fold-out stand, which is a bit bigger. And you also have that hole, but it's bigger because it's a bigger tablet. We've got front-facing speakers on this one, as well as a subwoofer on the back, a JBL subwoofer. We've got a projector here in the side, so you can project it onto the wall and stuff. This 13-inch tablet is actually really nice. It's a bit more high-end QHD display versus 1080p on the 10-inch one. Same Intel processor. I think they're both 2 gigs of RAM. 32 gigs in the 13 and 16 gigs in the 10.1-inch one. Their battery life is... The Yoga battery life is always really good, and on the 13.3-inch one, it seems to be really good again. Usually they have the best battery life for tablets. Not just, like, standby, but screen on time, too.
Is that thing all metal on the back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounded like it when you were opening the stand.
Even the bottom part down here is metal. Everything but the screen.
Dude, it's like carrying around a monitor. It's awful.
Mm-hmm. It's
a projector built in. That's so ridiculous.
Well, the thing about this is, like, they didn't really have to do anything extra because you already have this hump here for the stand, and there's a big battery in there as well. So, I mean, why not put a projector in there?
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I like it. It's a great idea.
It's really cool. I mean, we've seen that in other phones. Samsung did it in some phone, like 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
And it's just like odd because you had the projector like right here, so it was like a big hump here.
Yep.
It was just weird. And from what I heard, it didn't really work that well. This one seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense in a tablet because in that thing, you're probably going to be using it in a meeting room. You're probably going to be sitting at a table like this with the projector that way. So it's
perfect. And you can stand it up like this.
Yeah, that's great. That's a phenomenal idea.
Mm-hmm. I really like it. The speakers are really good on this one. Like I said, it's got two front-facing ones and a JBL subwoofer on the back. So when you have it like standing up, it sounds really good, especially for, you know, movies and stuff like that.
Subwoofer. It's fantastic.
I think that's all I've got. Well, I've started using the Verizon Moto X because I got Lollipop. So... Really liking that bamboo back on this one.
Yeah, that's awesome. How's Lollipop running on that?
I kind of want to say it runs better than it does on the Nexus 6. It feels smoother, but I think that's placebo effect still.
Well, and it might, man. Motorola's good.
Battery life is better than it is on the Nexus 6. And that's with, you know, I don't know why, but still standby is taking up a ton of my battery right now. It's at like 24%. But battery life seems to be better than the Nexus 6.
That's awesome.
So, I'm really liking the bamboo, though. I wanted the leather, but I might have to go get a bamboo one.
Sweet. That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, let's hit a couple of, really just one other hardware thing, and then talk about some software and apps. Nokia announced the N1 tablet. This is something that happened last week, and we're just now getting around to talk about it. This was interesting because it's the Nokia name, Nokia brand, licensed to Foxconn, which is the manufacturer that makes stuff for Apple, puts together the iPhones for them, as well as, you know, Samsung and a bunch of other manufacturers. But this Nokia tablet, the N1 tablet, is a 7.9-inch tablet, 64-bit processor. It's running Lollipop.
That's the most interesting part to me. The first non-Nexus tablet to launch with Lollipop is from Nokia.
Yes. Yep. It looks just like an iPad Air. Yep. So Nokia definitely borrowed some design cues from,
or maybe it was Foxconn that did it.
Right, maybe it was Foxconn.
Leftovers, like let's put this in this
tablet. I was just gonna say, hey, we got these extra cases. Let's shove some new stuff in here and see what happens.
Yeah, I already got it.
Nokia name on there.
And if they only sell it in China, it'll be perfectly fine.
And that's right now. I don't know that there's any plans to bring it to the U.S. It's going to be available in China. Starting at the beginning of next year, and then branching out into selected markets, quote unquote. We don't know where else it's coming. It's a high end tablet though. It's got a 2048x1536 resolution display on just smaller than an 8-inch screen. 64-bit quad core Intel Atom chip, 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of internal storage. 8-megapixel camera on the back, 5-megapixel camera on the front. It's only going to be about $250. US dollars. It's got a 5,300 milliamp hour battery. So it's a good looking tablet. I also thought it was funny that Nokia found a way around their agreement to sell their hardware division to Microsoft by licensing their name to somebody else. Yeah. They essentially can still make hardware. If they just don't do it as Nokia, they do it as a licensing deal. So pretty funny.
When I saw this, I think I was getting ready to get on a plane to Beijing, or maybe I'd just gotten off of it. And I looked and I'm like, oh, cool. Nokia's made an Android tablet. And I started thinking about it. They're the first ones to put out a lollipop device that's not a Nexus. That's pretty insane, because usually it's Samsung that does that.
And the device isn't out yet, but
yeah. Well, first one to announce it is what I think I said on Twitter.
Yep. And it'll be here in 2 months. 3 months, maybe.
We'll probably see it at CES.
Yes, that would make sense.
See, all I want out of this is an Android phone with a PureView camera. Just do it. Please. Please, Nokia. I've been wanting one of these since I dropped Nokia phones in 2010.
I'd pick one up. I most certainly would.
Yes.
And if they're that cheap, I mean, if they're less than $500, I pay to have it imported, too.
Yeah, that price was the other thing that was nuts. I remember seeing this thing, and it's like, dang, this is a sweet tablet. Wait, that's the price? What the heck? Like, hold on a second. There's got to be something wrong here. And then you read it again, and you're like, no, this is like the OnePlus One all over again. Yep. Let's just hope they don't suck as much as OnePlus.
And because they're manufacturing them in China, and they're selling them in China, it keeps the cost down. You know, if we add $100 to that price, if you want to import them in mass to the U.S., you know, it would sell for $350 instead of $250.
They should have had it there when I was there, and I could have brought one home.
Ah, yes, that would have been sweet.
Because I would have been able to get that through customs, no problem.
Yeah. So yeah, that kind of wraps up. I guess you could rope it up, whatever. If you're that'll wrap up hardware though. let's talk a little bit about some software, some new app stuff, and then we'll get the heck out of here. So the big thing that we haven't talked about yet on the show is YouTube Music Key. That finally launched after months and months of rumors that Google was working on a YouTube music service. It's called YouTube Music Key. It's $10 a month. It's tied into Google Play Music All Access. So if you have All Access, you get YouTube Music Key. If you subscribe to YouTube Music Key, you get All Access. It's just they're linking them together, which makes sense. I haven't really used Music Key at all. I'm pretty heavily embedded into All Access and only occasionally stream music on YouTube if there's an album that, you know, it's just sometimes it's easier to find or to link to stuff on YouTube than it is All Access. So far, the only experience I have with YouTube Music Key is the YouTube app on my phone will now play in the background. That's one of the features with Music Key. And so sometimes music or videos that my kids are watching, something like that, just keep playing in the background, which is something I wasn't used to. And it's a bit annoying. but other than that, like I haven't used Music Key. Nick, I know you have a little bit. Tell us about it.
I used it a couple of times in the last couple of days. I think the coolest thing for me is if you go into an album on Google Play Music, and I don't know how many albums it's going to be able to find, how it links this stuff together, but a lot of times, especially when there's an official music video, you will see, instead of the album art, there's a little YouTube link right there in Google Play Music. So you're playing your song, you have your album art right there, right in the middle of the screen is a YouTube link. You click that, takes you right into the video, which I was really impressed. I thought that was a really sweet integration, and quite honestly, that's something I'm not used to seeing with Google. So that was cool. And then, see, for me, turning the screen off and still hearing the sound from a YouTube video is something that they should have done eons ago. It's something they've had on the iOS YouTube app forever. And it's something, you know, if you're a rooted user, you've been able to mod on your YouTube app forever, too. Like, I don't know if they've just been planning this the whole time as if this would be some sort of brilliant business model, but I don't know. At the very least, this is a legitimate way, I suppose, or I don't even know if you want to call it that, of getting this. But even then, it's only videos that are part of Music Key. It's not all videos.
That functionality, should, like you said, it should have been there a long time ago. I think it's ridiculous that you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
To get background playback. But overall, I think this is a good business move. I don't think it's something that Google planned. They obviously were not expecting YouTube users to upload songs or full-length albums as a video. But that market just kind of that use for YouTube videos kind of organically grew to the point that, you know, Google said, hey, let's legitimize this a little bit. Let's make some money off of it and see where it goes. Again, I'm pretty heavily invested in All Access and playlists and everything built there. But especially for I think the target demographic for this is teenagers.
Yeah.
And, you know, like people in between middle school and high school that don't have a lot of money. They're not, you know, a lot of money to spend. They don't have expendable income, but they want to listen to music. And so they're getting it on YouTube because it's there on YouTube. So now for $8 a month, or, you know, 10 after the initial period, which I don't know, and this just rolled out on the 18th. So a week ago, I don't remember when the initial $7.99 promo period ends, probably being a month or two. After that, it'll be $10 a month. But you get unlimited music with no ads. You can play it in the background. And, you know, they're cutting artists in on some of this stuff, too, which is cool to see. Artists and record labels, obviously.
Yep. Yeah. And the no ads thing was another really big deal that I had forgotten about until you just mentioned it. But, you know, I know a lot of people that they hate going on YouTube because the ads. You know, sometimes you can skip them, sometimes you can't, whatever. But it's nice to be able to remove that when you want to. And again, it's only for Music Key specific songs or whatever. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head totally about the demographic. There's a lot of teenagers out there that listen to their music through YouTube. And I always thought it was weird. I never really got into opening up YouTube for music, but whatever. Maybe that's because, you know, I've had Google Play Music or something like that for a while. But it's another way for them to tap into a demographic that probably hasn't really either heard of their service or wasn't interested in that or something. So now they can say, hey, check this out. We've got this. Plus, you get this other thing, too.
Well, and because it's free, you know, or it's ad-supported, teenagers don't mind, you know, they don't mind using it because it's free. Yep. It's a little bit different for us. We're a little bit older. And so when we were looking for free music, it was Napster and Kazaa and LimeWire, you know. Whereas this, you know, those kind of pirating services are shut down. You can still torrent music, but you risk getting in trouble there.
Yeah.
Whereas YouTube is free. You know, your parents aren't going to yell at you for, you know, torrenting stuff and chewing up all the bandwidth and so now some kid can go to their parents and say, hey, I want a year of YouTube Music Key for my birthday or for Christmas or whatever for $80, $90 a year, whatever it comes out to, 80, 96 if you get in at the promo price, $96 a year.
Yeah.
Now they can get it for free. It's still kind of annoying because for so long and YouTube creators have put in the, like, click here to subscribe little buffer at the end of their videos. And so if you're listening to an album that's in individual tracks, at the end of each track, you get like another little commercial. Click here to subscribe or whatever. And Google doesn't have a way to cut that out the way they do the ads. So you'll still get that. And that's, again, one of the downsides for me of using MusicKey. But it's still a great, you know, it seems like a great service. And it's cool to see Google kind of branching out into this new area that really I don't think was a use case that they ever saw for YouTube. But it definitely is one. So, and then the other thing for software this week and really over the last 2 weeks is Android 5.0 Lollipop is rolling out to a bunch of phones. The Moto X on Verizon got it first. Surprise, surprise, because it's on Verizon.
Well, actually, the Pure Edition got it first.
Well, yeah. But for carriers, Verizon got it out first.
And that's theirs. The only Lollipop device on a carrier. Well, on Verizon, I should say.
Yeah.
AT&T does have the Nexus 6. And T-Mobile 2, now, well, Sprint 2. Everybody with Verizon.
Yeah. So they got Lollipop out to the Moto X first before they launched their Nexus 6. It's a little bit buggy on some devices. So we're hearing some, you know, getting some issues on the Nexus 6. Haven't heard anything about the Verizon Moto X having any issues yet, but
there's a few like weird things on the Verizon Moto X. Like we have motor display in the Moto X, and then you also have ambient display. So sometimes if I pick it up like this and I swipe down to open it, sometimes it'll just go to the regular 5.0 lock screen and not to the home screen. So it's like I'm unlocking the or swiping down the home screen or lock screen twice. So it seems like those two like clash a little bit. But I think I like Moto display better than ambient display.
Yeah, and that's I guess a function of Motorola getting it out quickly. They didn't pull some of the kind of overlapping features.
There doesn't seem to be like any show-stopping bugs, like anything that wouldn't keep you from using it as a daily driver. It's just a few annoying things like that. Like earlier when I wasn't at home, I was out running some errands and I went to open my phone and I looked in the status bar. There's no 4G or 3G there, no LTE or 3G icon, but I still had internet. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But then when I got home and connected to Wi-Fi, I could see the 3G there.
Yeah, so this is a status bar, notification bar, a kind of icon bug that the icon disappeared, but you still had a data connection.
Yeah, it was also in the the quick settings, the toggles there. You can see it there. Mm-hmm. Like you can see it grayed out when you're on Wi-Fi because it's not connected to it, but it can reach it. But when you're not on Wi-Fi, it's gone. I don't know why.
Weird.
But it's just small stuff like that. It's nothing, not a big deal, at least to me anyways.
And that's the kind of stuff that we're hearing about with the Nexus 6 too, just little hiccups that it's not quite ready for prime time.
The Nexus 6 had a pretty bad like wake lock, and I was still getting pretty good battery life even with the wake lock. There was a OTA that came out, I think, a few days before the before the reviews all went out. I never actually got the OTA, so I just went and flashed the image this weekend, and the wake locks are like gone now. So
they fixed it.
Yep, that was really the only bug I had was all the wake locks.
And most OEMs are talking about rolling it out after the first of the year. So like the first couple of weeks of January, we should see Samsung and HTC, and I know Sony said they're going to have it out in the first month of 2015.
LG's rolling it out right now, actually, in South Korea and I think Poland on the G3.
Yeah, I heard in Poland too. Yep. So
they were trying to beat Motorola but couldn't quite get there. But the thing with LG is it doesn't look that much different from KitKat.
Yes, I've also seen that their skin is still looks like KitKat on the G3. Mm-hmm. They didn't really material design much of anything, whereas Samsung and HTC have said that they're kind of embracing material design more. I hope Sony does too. We'll see when it starts rolling out to devices.
I think when we get the maybe the G Pro 3 and the G 4 next year, I think we'll probably see a little bit more material design in their skin. I don't think the G 2 ever got the G 3 skin. I think it's still on the like the version of, I don't even know what they call it anymore. I think it's still Optimus UI that it launched with. Just got updated to KitKat, that's all.
Yep. That is correct. And it's interesting because in Samsung's upcoming Lollipop updates, even for the Galaxy S4, they have updated it to all the new look. So you have...
In the confusing settings.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have the S4, the S5, the Note 3, and the Note 4 will all be on the same looking version of Lollipop, which will be a first ever for Samsung.
Okay, so the Note 4, it actually has a better settings menu to me than the S5 does. It's not all icons.
You can change the S5s though, right? Can't you change it like they had? Kind of,
but it's not really the same. I wish the Note 4 was actually powered up right now, because I do have it here. But it's just like a long scrolling list of stuff. On the S5, you can change it, but it's still kind of, you know, difficult to find everything unless you just search for everything in the search bar.
Samsung's I thought was interesting, the Lollipop update, because they're fixing a lot of the little silly things that they changed, like swiping between tabs, and I can't remember what else right now. It's too late. I've forgotten already. But
yeah, they've needed that since like the S4.
Yeah, since forever, yes. But it's they are finally, I guess, getting with the times, if you will, moving out of that gingerbread design mentality and into 2014, almost 15.
It's kind of surprising to see them actually fixing that stuff.
It is.
If this was Samsung from a year ago that was selling a lot of S4s, it wouldn't have happened. But because they sold 40% less S5s than they expected to, it looks like they're starting to panic, even though, I mean, I guess they probably should, because, you know, changes now we won't see for like 2 years. Because yep. That's just how smartphone cycles go.
Yeah, it's fine. They needed a good kick in the pants.
Yep. It's about time. But I think, unless you guys have any other really pressing, really important stuff you want to talk about, I think that's going to do it for the show. Keep it short and sweet. Touch on the important stuff, and then keep it moving for Thanksgiving. So you guys got any big plans for Turkey Day?
Trying to stay warm.
Trying to stay cool.
Yeah, well, that's... So, yeah, it's going to be, Alex, it'll be what, 20 degrees in Detroit?
Probably about, I think they said 37.
Oh, that's not bad.
Nice.
Last week we had record low, and then yesterday we had a record high temp. That's Michigan.
Yep. And then, Nick, it's going to be what, like 80 degrees for you?
Yeah, it was like 89 yesterday. Thanksgiving will be like 62, which will be sweet.
Oh, yeah, you get a little taste of it.
This is 2 years in a row now where we've had a nice Thanksgiving. I'm impressed.
It's still pretty hot.
Well, it's Florida.
Well, that's what it was yesterday here. It was like 65 yesterday. So.
Yeah, that's a nice day here, man, if we're friggin' lucky.
And then today it's like in the 30s, so. At least all the snow melted, so we got rid of that quickly.
There you go.
Yeah, it was like 60 today here in Richmond, but it's supposed to be back down in the 30s tomorrow, so.
I'm just glad I'm not in Buffalo.
It's all melted off in Buffalo. They got the same thing like you, Alex, where it looks like...
It's going to be a flood now because of all that snow.
Right, right.
Yep. My poor cousin.
It's like snow is heavy, so it's going to crush some roofs and stuff.
Yep.
Yeesh. Well, hopefully y'all have a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
And all the rest of you out there, too. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, have fun. Being a glutton, and watching some football and hanging out with your family, having a few drinks and enjoying yourself. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, come to my house and celebrate Thanksgiving with us.
Just make sure you watch the Lions hunt some bears.
Don't show up in my house. Because you don't know where I live. And also, the Lions playing the Bears. Is that what you said?
Yep. Their start season should be pretty easy now.
Yeah.
It's like Chicago, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, and then Green Bay is the last one, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We already beat them, so.
Yep. Well, cool. That'll do it for the Android Headlines Show, episode 86. You can find us, obviously, at androidheadlines.com, on Twitter, at Android Headline without the S, Google+, Facebook, wherever you like to get your news. So, Nick, Alex, it's always a blast. Thanks so much, guys.
Yep. See everybody after Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.